Okay. So we start the lesson today, which is about sound insulation, which means actually the sound passing through a structure, the transmitted sound. We did already see this picture 1 month ago, more or less. And we defined these three coefficients, the reflection coefficient, the absorption coefficient, and the transmission coefficient. How we define these three ratios, these three coefficients, considering the incident power W0 and equating the incident power W0 into the three flow, which are the reflected power, the absorbed power, and the transmitted power. In practice, we define these three coefficients, A, R, and T, and today we are interested only in T, the transmission coefficient, is one of the three coefficients. The sum of the three coefficients is always one, because the sum of the three power, WR, WA, and WT, the sum equals W0. So when you define everything by W0, you get the three coefficients, and their sum is one. Okay? Today we are dealing with the transmission coefficient. As is defined, the transmission coefficient is a pure number ranging between 0 and 1. But the value is always very, very small, because the transmitted energy is only a very small fraction of the incident energy. So we are dealing with a coefficient which perhaps is 0.002, a very small number, so it's not a practical number to manage. What we do usually is to express this number in decibels, which is typical in acoustics. So we just make 10 times the logarithm of 1 divided T, and we get a number in decibel called the sound reduction index. In Italian is called potere fonoisolante, and this number tell you how much decibel the sound lose while passing through the wall. So if the incident sound level was, for example, 100 decibel, it gave an incoming, an incident sound of 100 dB, and the sound reduction index of your wall was, for example, R equal 30 decibel, which is not a large number. A sound reduction index of 30 dB is quite bad. It's not a good wall. A good wall has 50 dB. But let me assume that our wall is thin and not very heavy, is a light wall, a light partition, then the sound reduction index is 30 dB. It means that the sound which passes through the wall will be 70 dB. 100 minus 30. It's simple. It's a very simple concept. It's also called the attenuation. It's the attenuation of the wall in the 100 minus 30 makes 70. Simple. Easy. Okay? So, this is the number of which we are talking today. Large R, sound reduction index in the. What we are most interested to study now is how R change with frequency, because this number is not constant, but generally speaking, change with frequency, change significantly with frequency, change a lot with frequency. So what we want to study is the spectrum of R, the chart of R, this is R, versus frequency, this is Hertz. Okay? Frequency in Hertz, R in D. T This chart has this typical shape, and we could divide the chart, the curve expressing R versus frequency, in four regions. There is a very low frequency region called the rigidity region. There is a low frequency region, but not so very low, which is the resonance region. Then there is the mass region here in the middle. And then at high frequency, there is the coincidence region. We want to analyze now each of the four regions, of the four spectral range, of the four frequency range, and analyze what is the physical law governing the value of R versus frequency. The first region which we study is the rigidity region. Here what matters is how the wall is fit. So if you place a hand against the wall and push, what you perceive is its stiffness, its rigidity. The more rigid is the wall, the larger will be R. So this is the typical reaction, which also works at zero Hertz, the static load reaction, how the wall reacts to the application of a static load, a static force, not a pulsating force. Sound is pulsating, and instead static force is just the pressure of your hand against the wall. Here the rigidity matters. The more rigid is the wall, the less it will deflect under the pressure, the less it will transmit energy, acoustical energy, on the other side of the wall. This region terminates at very low frequency. The range here is usually below 30 Hertz. So it is barely audible what happens here. Less than 30 Hertz, very, very low frequency. For normal walls in houses or in houses. Then we have the second region. This is more interesting because this usually goes between 30 and, say, 200 Hertz. So, in this region, we already have many interesting things happening. Many low-frequency noise, which disturb you coming from your neighborhood. You listen to music or to the TV with a loud volume, and you hear the sound coming in your house, in your apartment, through the wall, in this frequency range. So, it can be quite disturbing, this low-frequency noise. You cannot understand anything. There is no information regarding speech in this low frequency. You only hear the typical bass line of music. Boom, boom, boom. This is what you hear. You don't hear the melody of the music. If someone is speaking, if he is listening to the news at the TV, you don't understand what they are saying. You only hear the low frequency part of the voice. But you cannot understand, okay? So there is no intelligibility at this low frequency region, but there is disturbance, there is annoyance. It can be very boring to hear this low frequency noise. What happens in this range is that the spectral shape of R versus frequency is quite unpredictable. There are valleys and peaks. And the valleys and peaks can be very pronounced, as in the continuous line, or if there is a lot of damping, if the material of the wall is damped, is dissipating mechanical energy into Hertz, then the curve has less pronounced peaks and valleys. So, where there is a valley, it is a resonance. The wall vibrates very easily at this frequency because it is a resonant frequency of the structure. So when you excite the wall at this resonant frequency, it vibrates very easily and radiates a lot of sound in the other room. Instead, when you have a peak, so a good sound insulation, good sound reduction index, It is because at this frequency the world don't like to vibrate. It is an anti-resonance frequency. And at the anti-resonance, even if you apply a lot of stimulation to the structure refuses to vibrate. It does not like to vibrate at this frequency. Of course we like the anti-resonance and we hate the resonance, because of the resonance the energy passes through very quickly. The cure for this region, the way of designing a wall which has good insulation in this region, is damping, having a damped wall avoids peaks but also avoids valleys. So it's good to have damping for low frequency sound insulation. Nevertheless, the absolute value of R in this region is the minimum. It's bad. So it's very difficult to provide good sound insulation at low frequency. You need very, very thick wall, very, very heavy wall for providing good sound insulation at low frequency, because in this region there is any more no rigidity. You see the rigidity is falling down by 6 decibels per octave. So this curve continues to fall down. The rigidity effect is becoming absolutely zero above a certain frequency. Making the wall more rigid does not provide significant advantage above a certain frequency, say 50 Hz. Above 50 or 60 Hz, rigidity is gone. There is no rigidity effect anymore. On the other side, at higher frequency, where we have the mass region, in the mass region, the sound insulation index increased by 6 decibels per octave. This is due to the mass of the wall. A heavier wall, a wall with more mass, give you better sound insulation. And in this mass-controlled range, the slope is now positive, plus 6 decibels per octave. But nevertheless, when the frequency goes down, this line goes here. So in this cross region here, here is a region where, generally speaking, rigidity is not effective, mass is not effective, and getting good sound insulation here is very difficult. It's a bad frequency region, and every partition, every wall, has a low frequency range in which it's almost impossible to get sound insulation. Luckily enough, this region usually terminates around 200 Hz at most, in the worst case. In the good case, it terminates at 100 Hz. So, above 100, 150, 200 Hz, we enter the mass region. The mass region is nice because it provides much better sound insulation, improving significantly the frequency. And this region is quite wide because it starts at 200 Hz and perhaps terminates at 2000 Hz. So you have a wall decade, a wall medium frequency range, which is the most important range, in which the mass law is solid, is rock solid. And the mass law is good also because it is very easy to compute the value of R knowing the mass of your wall. We will see it in the next slide. So it's a very nice region. We will be happy to keep this mass behavior at very high frequency. Unfortunately, at a certain point, the mass control behavior terminates, and we enter the coincidence region. What is coincidence? It is a sort of resonance, but it's not the true resonance, because the true resonance is here, low frequency. Coincidence occurs when the wavelength in air is equal to the wavelength of the flexural vibration of the panel. Every surface, when vibrates, you can see waves traveling over the surface, like the waves in the sea or in a lake. Those traveling waves have a certain wavelength. Those are mechanical, flexural waves, because the panel flexes under the acoustical load. The acoustical load causes this panel to vibrate with a deformation, which is something like that. So this flexural vibration of the panel aids a flexural wavelength, this wavelength. The wavelength between two maxima is called usually lambda S, where S is structural, the structural wavelength. When the structural wavelength equates the acoustical wavelength, then you are in coincidence. And when this happens, as you see from the chart, you can have a significant loss of insulation due to coincidence. When you are in coincidence, the energy transfer between the acoustical field and the mechanical vibration field is easy. And when the energy transfer is easy, you easily transfer energy to the wall easily transfer energy to the other acoustic field on the other side of the wall, and in the end, the energy passes through the structure very easily with little attenuation. So this is a problem. A big notch due to a strong coincidence effect is a big problem. This typically happens to structures, to panels, which are made of only one material. They are homogeneous. The material is very constant properties, like steel or like glass. No joints, no melt, no concrete, no different components attached to each other. A very simple structure. The simple is the structure, the more evident is the coincidence effect. When the structure is more vast, like a wall made by bricks and concrete, a typical brick wall, a brick wall is not so homogeneous. There are parts which are ceramics, which are part which are concrete, and which are part which is iron inside. So all those materials are interleaved not perfectly regularly, because it's made by hand with different thickness of the layers of concrete and so on. So in the end, the structure is quite bastard. And in a bastard structure, usually you get a less pronounced coincidence effect. The more bastard, and again the more damped is the structure, damping increases the sound reduction index in this frequency region and avoid a pronounced loss of insulation due to coincidence. Instead, this is a very big problem for windows. Windows are made by glass. Glass is a material which is by definition perfectly homogeneous and isotropic, so it is the worst for disaster. How can you control this effect in glass? There are two technologies. One is layered glass, or safety glass is also called. In safety glass, you glue together two layers of glass with a plastic film in between. This is for safety reason. If you break the window, it does not break apart in very dangerous piece, which can cut yours, but it stays attached together thanks to this plastic film keeping the parts together. So it's a safety measure. But structurally, this makes the layer not anymore homogeneous, because there is an intermediate layer of plastic which has high damping. There is a lot of damping. And you easily understand, if the glass is made of layered safety glass or monolithic glass, just hammering with a key over the glass. If you make, and you hear top top like here, set is layer glass. If instead is mono single piece glass, it may ping. Okay, ping means homogeneous, a lot of ringing, little damping. In fact, it's like a bell, it continues ringing a lot after hitting it with a metal piece. If instead there is damping because it is a surface glass, when you hit it, it's like this table, it makes top. Very short response, short impulse response, means a lot of damping. Okay? A layer of glass has a very little coincidence effect. There is another solution, which is the one mostly used here in Italy. In Italy, for energy preservation, for reducing the thermal dissipation of your building, you are forced to use windows which are double glazing, two separate layers of glass with a gas in between. And the distance between the two glasses can be 12 millimeters, for example, is a quite typical value, 10 millimeters, 20 millimeters. So it is a double glazing. You have two different windows. In this case, if the two layers of glass are made with different thickness, the frequency where the coincidence effect occurs will be different for the two layers of glass. So one will be in coincidence, but the other will not. And when the second goes in coincidence, the first is not anymore. This way, the depth of this coincidence notch is smaller. It works better. So it's quite typical, and it is a good idea, to make a double glazing, in Italian it's called vetrocamera, with the two glass of different thickness. For example, 4 and 6 millimeters is a quite typical solution here in Italy to see a double glazing with 4 millimeter internal, 12 millimeter of fire, and 6 millimeter external glass. This is a good solution, both for thermal insulation and for acoustical insulation. So, let me focus for now to the central frequency region where the mass law holds. We have two different formulations of the mass law. One is theoretical and predicts slightly better value, and the second is practical, and it is the real one, the one which predicts the real behavior of a wall, of a window, and so on. This law tells you two things. F is frequency. So, the first thing, it tells you that the value increases by 6 decibels when doubling the frequency. But sigma is the surface density, that is the mass per square meter. Sigma is measured in kilogram mass per surface. Square meter. Okay, the capability to draw with this one is terrible. Kilogram per square meter. This is the density of the wall in terms of mass per unit surface. And when you double the mass, the value of R again increases by 6 decibels. What does this mean? That if I have a single wall, a concrete wall for example, which gives you a sound reduction index of 30 dB, if you double the wall, make it twice the thickness, you double the mass, so you get 36 decibels. Is an improvement, not really large. But if you instead use to separate walls, each one capable of 30 dB sound reduction index, when the two are one after the other, so the sound has to cross both of them, It will be reduced at 30 dB during the first crossing, then it will be reduced again by another 30 dB when crossing the second layer, and in the end you get a sound reduction index which is 30 plus 30, 60 decibels. So this is much more effective than this. This is the same concept as for windows, as I said you before. If then you add the trick to differentiate the thickness, you also avoid the coincidence effect, or you reduce the effect of coincidence effect. So in the end, it's much better to have two structures than one very thick. The cost is probably the same, or likely the same, for who built the partition, but this kind of double structure provides much better sound insulation than a single structure. Wanting to get even more, you can add sound absorbing material in between. If you add mineral wool, polyester fiber, polyurethane foam, or all those kind of material which are soft and porous inside the cavity, you get another 6 dB more. You get other 6 dB due to a layer which weighs nothing compared with the weight of the other two. So these additional 6 decibels due to absorption are in violation of the mass law. Also, this fact is in violation of the mass law, because here the density is the same. The density of these and the density of these are the same. So they should provide the same value. But this one obeys perfectly to the mass law. So with this formula, you predict correctly the sound insulation of these double walls. Instead, in this case, the result you get is significantly better than what the mass law predicts. For obtaining this effect, nevertheless, the thickness of the cavity must be at least 4 or 5 times the thickness of the wall. So if your wall was 10 cm thick, you need a cavity of 40 cm for getting this perfect decoupling of the two structures. If the cavity between the two layers is smaller, you get some coupling due to the air in between, which keeps glued together the vibration of the two structures. So you will get a result which will always be intermediate between this one, which is the two walls perfectly glued together, to this one, which is the two structures completely independent. Reducing the thickness of the cavity brings you in between, and in most buildings in Italy, the thickness of this cavity usually is no more than 10 cm. Very often it's just 5 cm. With a 5 cm cavity, decoupling only works at very high frequency, because also the wavelength is part of the problem. When the wavelength is very small compared to the thickness of the cavity, then you get decoupling. When the wavelength is strongly longer than the size of the cavity, then you get coupling, and so the behavior tends to one. It is in between, and it depends on frequency. We can try to plot a chart. If the mass law was this one, above a certain frequency, it starts to go with better slope, and then you get the double. So here is 60, for example, and here is 30. Well, it's wrong, because 30 and 60 are two positions here. Nevertheless, what I mean is that if the lower line corresponds to this double wall glued together, the theoretical behavior of two independent walls would be this one, where you double the value at every frequency, but at low frequency it will still behave as if they are glued because the thickness of the cavity is not large enough. Increasing the frequency, it is like increasing the distance because you have to compare with the wavelength which becomes smaller and smaller. So at a certain point, above a certain frequency, this one, the system really behaves as two independent waves. Unfortunately, for a 5 centimeter cavity and normal structure employed for walls in Italy, this frequency is around 10 kHz, so it's already very high. So in most of the interesting region, you are here in between. At low frequency, the cavity is like not being at all. And going up, the cavity gives you some improvement, so the slope will be more than, say, 6 decibels per octave. It will be perhaps 9 decibels per octave. But only at very high frequency, you get effectively the doubling of the sound insulation. Okay? This is the concept of the mass law. And please forget the theoretical and only use the practical, because, of course, the true one is the second one. Okay, this chart is employed, and this table is employed for predicting the resonance frequency, the coincidence. For each material in this table, which unfortunately has not been translated by Italian, there are materials which are called piombo, lead, acciaio, steel, calcestruzzo, concrete, mattone, bricks, vetro, glass, perspex, cemento amianto, electro align over PVC forbidden now, is asbestos. Alluminio, masonite, gypsum board, plywood. Okay, for each material you get this magic number, which is the product of the critical frequency multiplied the unit area mass, the superficial density. So when you have this value and when you have the mass areal density, which is in practice the density of the material, normal density, these are grams per cubic centimeter or kilograms per liter, perhaps. You see, water is 1, lead is 11, steel is 8. This is the density of the material, the normal density. You can compute easily the coincidence frequency. Let me make an example. Let me take the steel, which is the second one. This magic number here is 97,700 Hz per square meter over kilogram. And this density, here is called sigma, but the correct value here should be rho. This is density. The Greek letter rho. I don't know if I made it correctly. Rho is 8.1 kilogram per cubic meter. This is bastard, because it's not per cubic meter, but it is per liter. Kilogram per liter. So we all understand the unit of this thing. Okay, so this is the density. So if we make a layer of steel 10 millimeter thick, so the thickness of our steel panel is 10 millimeters, you compute sigma, which is rho per S. Rho is this sigma strength here. Is the density multiplied the thickness, and 8.1 multiplied 10 millimeter means an area density, a surface unit area density of 81 kilogram per square meter. So you can now compute the coincidence frequency as the magic number in this column divided the surface density of your wall. And this result in this case in a coincidence frequency at 1200 Hz, which is really very bad because it is exactly in the region which is most important for speech. So through this steel panel, you will probably can hear very well what they are saying the other side of the panel. And this is not good for privacy. Okay? So this is the way in which you compute the coincidence frequency for all this material, knowing the thickness of your wall. If you make your wall thicker, so if you double the thickness of the wall, the coincidence frequency becomes half reduced. The larger, the thicker the thickness, the larger the thickness, the smaller will be the coincidence frequency. Instead, for example, a very thin glass window, which is probably only 4 or 5 millimeters thick, usually has a coincidence frequency of 4,000 Hz, 5,000 Hz, which is not so dangerous anymore, it's not so annoying, because there is very little noise at very high frequency outdoors. Only where there is the siren of an ambulance, perhaps you get such a very high frequency. But normal traffic noise has no energy at 4 kHz. So having the coincidence for a window at 4 kHz is not such a big problem as having the coincidence at 1,000 Hz lightning frequency. Okay, there is a final concept to introduce before ending this lesson. The difference between sound insulation and sound reduction index. These two quantities are often confused by students, particularly during the exam, when you are under pressure and the two terms are similar because they are both value in decibels, which express how much the sound attenuates going from left to right. What is sound insulation? And what is sound reduction? Sound reduction is defined, as we have seen in the first slide, as R 10 times the logarithm of 1 divided T. So it has to do with the definition of the transmission coefficient C, which is the ratio between the incident power and the transmission power. Sound insulation D, instead, has to do with the sound pressure level, the average sound pressure level, which happens in these two rooms. The first one, L1, is where there is the source, and the second one, L2, is where you listen to the effect of the sound passing through the wall. So, D, the sound insulation, is defined very simply as the difference L1 minus L2, which is not equal to R. It would be equal to R if there was no room, if there are no reverberant fields, both on the left and on the right of the wall, if there was only a free field sound coming over the wall and a free field sound radiating away from the wall to the receiver. In free field, D equals R. When there are closed rooms, this is not true anymore. We can do some reasoning with the reverberant field formula, evaluating how much energy impinge over this partition wall due to the presence of a diffuse field L1 in the first room, and how much is the effect of the energy being transmitted through the wall in the second room. So the first concept is that the incident energy E1 multiply the surface of the partition wall, multiply the transmission coefficient T1, equate the power being radiated in the second room. But where this power is going, is going to be absorbed by the room absorption in the second room, where you get a reverberant field when we suppose the Sabine formula is working, and so we can compute the total absorption in the second room as always the summation of the absorption coefficient alpha, alpha e, multiplied each surface area s phi. After some map passage, we transform this formula in decibel, and this is the result which we obtain. The sound insulation index, the sound reduction index R, is equal to the sound insulation B, which means L1 minus L2, plus a correction term, correction factor, which is 10 times the logarithm of the ratio between the surface of the partition divided the absorption area of the receiving area. Why this formula is important? Because the law here in Italy, as we will see in the second lesson, mandate for measuring R in rooms, in houses, in buildings, not for measuring B. Measuring B is trivial. You just need two sound level meters measuring the two levels in the two rooms, and the measurement is B. Instead, our law does not require that you check the value of B. It requires that you check the value of R, so you still have two sound level meters measuring L1 and L2. But you must correct the result of this difference with this correction factor, so you need to measure with the ruler the size of the wall, and you need to measure the reverberation time of the receiving room, and from the knowledge of the reverberation time, you compute the absorption curve, the absorption area, the total absorption of the receiving room. This is what is required for estimating the value of R by measuring B. B is easy to measure, R is not easy to measure. We rely on some theoretical assumption for getting this formula, and this assumption can well be wrong. So in the end, estimating the correct value of R in situ, in a house where people are living, is not so easy. It can be tricky, but our Italian law requires that this value of R in a building is at least 50 decibels, which is a large value actually. Okay? Well, actually, in our law, what we measure is not the sound reduction index R, but it is the apparent sound reduction index R first. What's the difference between R and R first? R is measured in laboratory, and in laboratory there are no flanking transmissions because the two rooms which are employed for doing the measurement are well insulated, and the sound can go only through the wall which is placed here for making the measurement. So in this case, the formula which you have seen here is correct. Everything is designed to be true, the room obeys to the Sabine formula, and so you really get R as L1 minus L2 plus 10 times the logarithm of S slash L. But what happens when you measure at your home the insulation between your apartment and the next one is shown here. The sound radiated in the first room does not only travel directly through the partition wall to the receiving room, but there are also all these complex paths which are called flanking transmission paths. The presence of these flanking transmission paths makes so that in the receiving room more energy arrives. If more energy arrives, the insulation will be worse. And so what happens always is that R1 measured in a normal house is always smaller, often much smaller, very small, compared to R measured in a laboratory. The difference between the two range between 3 to 20 decibels. But in the better case, you still get R1, which is 3 decibels worse than R. And that is the optimum. The more the flanking transmission are present, there can be holes, there can be pipes. Look at these steel pipes. They are crossing the wall and going in the next room. The sound can enter into the pipe, travel through the pipe to the next room, and come out there. This is a flanking transmission. The same in the floor, in the ceiling, in other kind of equipment, in the lateral wall. There can be doors. Think to this classroom and the next classroom. The wall between the two classrooms is good, but there are doors. And if the doors are open, a lot of energy comes out from the door, goes to the corridor, from the corridor, enter the door of the other classroom, and so the sound insulation between the two classrooms becomes much worse, because there are doors. So all these facts cause the fact that R1, which is the one we have to measure for complying to the Italian law, can be much worse than R. So a good designer does not, for the Italian law, R1 must be equal, greater or equal to 50 decibels. This is what the law mandates. So definitely we will not buy or specify a wall which has been tested in the lab for 50 decibels. But also specifying a wall which has been tested to be 53 is not safe enough. See, 53 will be barely enough if there are no of these lateral transmission pipes. But if you think that there can be pipes, there can be electro ducts for cables or any other kind of geometrical anomaly in your structure, you very often lose 5 or 6 decibels from the laboratory. So you need to specify a wall which in the lab measured at least 56 for being safe. And this is the recommendation I give you. If you want to avoid problems, please choose a structure which exceeds the limit given by the law by 6 decibels or more. Then you are reasonably safe. You are never safe because a stupid worker during building a house can always drill a hole somewhere, can always insert a rod of steel connecting the two walls of a double wall, can always leave open some other passage or similar thing. So it's very frequent to make some building mistake which, even if the wall is very good, which a laboratory value better than 56 decibels, nevertheless, in practice, you go, you measure, and you don't get this to be verified. You don't verify inside to R1 value better than 50 decibels. You perhaps measure 42 or 45, which is definitely not enough. And this occurs very often, is causing a lot of problems to Italian building companies. In the last 3 years, a lot of building companies here were broken and failed. And they are with the books in the court and they are gone. It is computed that one every three of them did fail due to acoustical problems in their building. Because who buys the house make a court action against the building company. He wins the action because the experimental verification shows that the limit is not met. And in the end, the judge in the court assigns a reimbursement to the owner of the house, the guy who purchased his house, which ranged around 20% of the commercial value of the house. So the building company has to pay back him 20% of the money. And if the company has not a lot of money in bank, in these days it's almost impossible, and so the company is broken and it fails. And in the last 2 years in Italy, a lot of building companies made this sad end, because they build without complying to the acoustical law in Italy. We will come back to this in the next hour, and the result is that the company closed. The workers are at home, and this is one of the most critical factors in the building industry in Italy in the last 3 years. So it is up to you, when you go working, to train the worker building houses for avoiding this planking transmission error, which causes the fact that the building is not This is what I did right about. Okay, I think we can stop here for a minute. Any questions?